If you think that you are not one of the top notches or one of the elites, Jesus says to you that even though John the Baptist is the greatest preacher or prophet that ever lived, he is not as great in God's sight as you, the least person who is in the kingdom. He says there is no other prophet like John. However, John is the least of in the kingdom. The Christian is greater than John. Luke chapter 7 and verse 28. Luke 7:28. It will say the same thing.
For I say unto you,
for I say to you,
among those that are born of women,
among those that are born of women,
there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he.
The person who is least in the kingdom is greater than John. We need to ask the question then, in what sense is the least among us in the kingdom greater than John? How is it that even though John is greater than all the other prophets who were truly great, how is it the case that the Christian is greater than John? The first thing that we need to understand is that John was not a Christian. John was not in the kingdom. And in that sense, even if it is that sense alone, you who are a part of the kingdom of Christ, you who are a part of the Christian community, you who are a faithful trying, well not trying, you are a faithful a Christian who is trying to do his best to serve God, you in God's eye is truly great. And you are truly great. And what we need to understand, and we're going to look at the lesson, that John is not as great as those of us who are in the kingdom, and we're going to try to find out why. The encouraging truth is that in being in the kingdom, Ephesians 1, 3, and we looked at Ephesians this morning, being in the kingdom exposes you and me to some of the greatest blessings, to a more lasting blessing, more lasting privileges than you could ever imagine. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, here's what it says. Ephesians 1 and verse 3.
Blessed be the God and
blessed
Father.
Blessed be the God.
And Father of our Lord Jesus
and
Christ.
And Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who hath blessed us with
who
all.
Who has blessed us.
With all spiritual blessings.
Now watch this. The Christian is blessed. Today the Christian, the child of God, is experiencing all the spiritual blessings that the Almighty God wishes him to have. In Jesus Christ, there is no blessing that you and I do not enjoy. In Jesus Christ, all that God wants you to be is set in a particular place. What place? In Christ. And I want you to notice that the implication is that those of us who are outside of Christ are not being exposed to the spiritual blessings that are available in Christ. Life in the kingdom, what a privilege. I'm not finished with Ephesians 1, 3 yet. Because if you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, if you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, what do you mean by that? If you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, what do I mean by that? If you are here and not a member of the church of Christ that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood, then you are not being exposed to the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't be afraid to accept the truth of Jesus Christ. It might go against you. You might not like it. It might be new to you. You might think it is narrow-minded. But let me tell you something. You can never, ever be made free from sin if you do not obey the truth. Why? Because Jesus says you shall know the truth. And that truth will set you free. But watch this. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we're told that all spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ. In this passage, that is in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul catalogues for us a number of blessings to which we have been exposed. Life in the kingdom. Notice with me Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, in Jesus Christ, in the kingdom, we have been chosen to be holy and blameless. In verse 5 through to 6, we have been adopted as his children. In verse 7, we have been redeemed and forgiven. In verse 8, we have been made the wisdom and understanding of God. In verse 8, we are exposed to all the mysteries that God has revealed to us. In verse 11 to 13, the Christian, the child of God, have been given an inheritance and made God's heritage. It means then that everything that Jesus Christ enjoys, you and I enjoy that in the kingdom. In verse 14, we're told that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, but that comes to us only if we are in the kingdom. Life in the kingdom. What a privilege. I want you to notice, don't move from the verse yet. What I want you to notice is that all of these blessings are spiritual blessings. We should notice that in these spiritual blessings, they are located, they are set in a particular place. They are in him. I want you to notice that there is no spiritual blessing outside of Jesus Christ. You and I might enjoy physical blessings. Why? Because we are God's creation. But it is only the child of God who experiences the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Notice with me the truth in Ephesians chapter 1. That God wants us to become will all be experienced and achieved in the kingdom, the church. All that God wants you to be spiritually, all that God wants you to be in becoming like him, will be done and accomplished only in the kingdom of God, not outside. These blessings, as I said, are spiritual. And they are found only in Jesus Christ. And if you and I truly believe in Christ, if you and I truly obey Jesus Christ, then we are constantly being exposed to these blessings. You might wonder, why have I gone to John chapter 3 and yet I have not touched it? You see, there is one climax in John chapter 3. That I want us to see, and I'm going to wait until later. But let me give you a preview of what I'm going to say. Turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 36, the last chapter. For us to achieve life in the kingdom, with all of its blessings, with all of its opportunities, with all of its privileges, there is going to be something on our part that we need to do. Watch John chapter 3 and verse number 36.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
He that believes on the Son has everlasting life.
And he that believeth not the Son.
And he that believeth not
the Son.
The Son
shall not see life.
Shall not see life. Watch me. I'll come back to this passage. Hold it there. You see, there is a contrast in the passage. John says that there is blessings for those who believe. But then he says there is a blessing for those who do not believe. I'm going to come back to this passage because I want you to see that there is an important truth in this passage. I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to leave that there because I'm going to put a word in that will have implication for you and me. Watch this. If we go to John chapter 3, in the first place, John is talking about himself. And John is comparing himself to Jesus Christ. And notice what he's doing in John chapter 3, in the verses that we are using this morning. In the first place, John is not as great as people in the kingdom because of the way we, the Christian, have identified ourselves with Jesus Christ. I want you to follow me. John is going to make a comparison between himself and Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that if you and I identify with Jesus Christ this morning, if you and I accept Jesus Christ this morning, we're going to see in what sense we are the least in the kingdom greater than John. Watch this now. In John chapter 3 and verse 28, John says, read verse 28 for me, please.
Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ.
Okay, John says, I want to make it plain. I want you to make it plain that I am not Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, look at how I am going to be different from Jesus Christ. Read verse 29.
He that hath the bride.
He that hath the bride.
Is the bridegroom.
Is the bridegroom.
But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly.
Watch this. John says, now let's put this here. All right, let's see if we can put this as John. And let's put this as Jesus Christ. John says, first of all, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Yeah. Now, I remember when I got married, and I don't like to talk about myself, but watch, I'm going to make a point. I remember when we left here, and we were driving up Washington Boulevard. And Jackie was with me, of course, in the car. And Earl was the chauffeur. We had at the back of the thing, you know, just married. And I remember a man drove up right beside the car and said, wait, boss man, make we see her, you know? And we had to wind down the car, the windows. Why? You see, the center of attraction was not the bridegroom, me. They didn't want anything to do with me. It was, let's see what the bride looks like. But you see, in Jesus' day, the bride was not the center of attraction. The bridegroom was the center of attraction. Now, watch this. Jesus says, John says, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom.
Yeah.
But you see, as for me, I am only an invited guest.
Yeah.
I am the friend of the bridegroom. But Jesus Christ is the real thing.
That's right.
Now, notice with me. He doesn't only say that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom and he is the friend. Look at verse 30.
He must increase.
Now, John says, Jesus Christ must increase.
But
you see, for me,
must decrease.
I must decrease. I will have to give way to Jesus Christ. Why is the least in the kingdom greater than John? We are greater than John because we have identified with Jesus Christ. Now watch this, watch this. Look for me at verse 31 through to verse number 32. Read.
He that cometh from above.
You see, Jesus Christ comes from above. Go on.
Is above all.
He's above all.
he that is of the earth.
Jesus Christ is, okay, John is below. John is of the earth. Jesus Christ is above. He is from heaven. Go on.
He that cometh from heaven is above all.
Is above all. Read.
And what he had seen and heard.
You see, Jesus Christ has seen and he has heard from the Father himself. In other words, Jesus Christ is the primary source of God's truth.
Amen, amen.
But for me, I am getting the truth secondhand. Watch me. Life in the kingdom. What a privilege. Notice something else with me. Look now at verse number 34.
For he whom God hath sent.
For he who God hath sent.
Speaketh the words of God.
Sorry. Speaks the word of God.
For God giveth not the
you
Spirit.
See, John says, Jesus Christ was given, put it this way, the influence of the Holy Spirit working with Jesus Christ was limitless. But for me, I have been given the Spirit by measure. In other words, the extent of the Holy Spirit working with Jesus Christ is limitless. Mine is limited. So, he is greater than I am. And I want to suggest to us this morning that you and I, because we have been exposed to Jesus Christ and the blessings that are in him, we are greater than John. Life in the kingdom. What a privilege. But watch me now. The relationship between God and his people. The relationship between God and his people is often viewed in marital terms. The relationship between God and Israel is described Exodus 34, verse 14 to 16. And another brother can get for me 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. Watch this. The Almighty God often presents his relationship with his people as a marital relationship. And Jesus says that in that marital relationship, I expect that you be faithful to me because I am going to be faithful to you. And he describes once we move away from the Almighty God, we actually are in an adulterous relationship. In fact, so serious is it that oftentimes the Bible says that God's people go whoring after other gods. And he considers them to be in spiritual adultery. Watch Exodus chapter 34. Read. Exodus 34. Verse 14 to 16. And then.
For thou shalt worship no other god.
You shall worship no other god.
For the Lord whose name is jealous.
For the Lord whose name is jealous.
Is a jealous God.
Is a jealous God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land.
God is a, watch me. God is a jealous God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lest thou go.
And he has made
a covenant with the inhabitants of the land.
With the inhabitants of the land.
And they go a whoring.
And they go a whoring.
After their gods.
After their gods.
And do sacrifice unto their gods.
Okay, stop there. The point is made that with God's relationship to his people, God is jealous. He doesn't want us to make our allegiance to anybody else. Mm-hmm. We are, that is the people of God, Israel. They were in a covenant relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And God says, don't go whoring after other gods. Mm-hmm. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. Today, we are the church. We are the Israel of God. And this in the same relationship is sustained. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2.
For I am jealous over you.
Paul says, I am jealous over you.
With a godly jealousy.
With a godly jealousy.
For I have exposed you.
For I have exposed you.
To one husband.
To one husband.
That I may present you as mm-hmm. a chaste virgin to Christ.
You see, here is the point. Paul says, Jesus Christ is jealous about his church. Paul says that, yes, the Christian is in a covenant relationship with God. The New Testament, the Word of God. That's the covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. And not only that, we must be chaste virgins to Christ, not go whoring after other gods. What's your point? Life in the kingdom, what a blessing. What a privilege. Let me list some things now that we need to consider. First of all, life in the kingdom brings a number of spiritual blessings and opportunities that the world before the coming of Jesus Christ longed to experience. Hebrews 11, and quickly find the passages, brothers. Hebrews 11, 39 to 40, and 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 to 12, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, you know? I don't want to let go any secrets out of the bag, but Derek Grant and myself, who was once here, we speak almost every day, more than once per day. And I remember Derek was saying to me, Eddie, you remember when you used to go to those crusades when Brother Mitchell is preaching and he will give you all 4 or 5 passages, and if you take two seconds to find the passage, I will tell you what he would say to us from the pulpit. He says, wait, brother, that passage is not in your Bible. you remember that, brother? All right, and we used to have a laugh about it. Well, brother, I hope that is in the passage. Hebrews 11, verse 39 to 40.
And these all...
Now, watch this. Life in the kingdom is so enormous that all of the great heroes of faith had to wait on the Christian before they could get the eternal promise. If Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 to 40.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith.
Having obtained a good report through faith.
Received not the promise.
Received not the promise. That is the promise in Jesus Christ of eternal life. Read.
God having provided some better thing.
Yeah.
For us.
Watch this now. God, having provided better things for us, the Christian, who?
That they, without us, could not be made perfect.
What is the point? They could not get eternal salvation until you and I got it. Life in the kingdom, what a blessing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Watch this. And then Ephesians 3, 3 to 5. Watch this now. Life in the kingdom. What a privilege. Ephesians. Or 1 Peter.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired.
Watch this. Peter says, of which salvation
the prophets have inquired.
The prophets have inquired.
And searched diligently.
Who prophesied of the grace
that should come unto you?
Come to you.
Mm-hmm. Searching what?
Searching what?
Or what manner of time?
Or what manner of time?
The Spirit of Christ, which was in them.
The Spirit of Christ,
which was in them.
Which was in them.
Did signify. When it testified beforehand the suffering.
What is the point? The prophets of old, the angels in heaven, were anxiously waiting. They were becoming inquisitive because they wanted to know the grace that they would receive. They were so interested that they did not know what Jesus Christ had in mind. They didn't understand, and so they were, it says they were desiring to look into. I'm still a Jamaican. Them just get fast. Inquisitive, nosy, wanting to find out how is God going to redeem man. But you see, when it comes to life in the kingdom, you and I are learning every day about the grace of God. In the kingdom, you and I are experiencing the great grace of God that they wanted to experience. And not only that, in the church, every Sunday morning when the gospel is preached here, every Wednesday night when the gospel is being preached from this pulpit, it is educating the angels and saying to them, this is what you want to know about. We are knowing about it every day. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. Life in the kingdom, what a blessing. How that by revelation.
He made known unto me the mystery.
The mystery.
As I wrote afore in few words.
Yeah.
Whereby.
When you read.
You may understand my
knowledge.
My knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
You see, the heavenly host, the angels, are now knowing about the truth, the grace of God that we know every day. There are other things that I want to say, but I don't know. Let me just say this. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're talking about life in the kingdom. What a blessing. Being a Christian, what a great experience. Being a member of the church that Jesus says, upon this rock I will build. It's such a wonderful experience. Sometimes it is unfortunate. Sometimes it is tragic that you and many of us in the church don't appreciate the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Many times we take the grace of God for granted. Many times we feel as if God owes us something. But brethren, you and I experience the greatness, great, great grace of God when we are faithful in the church. If you're here and you are not a Christian, then you need to experience these blessings. Watch this now. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 to 45, I think, is what I want. Matthew chapter 13. And we're talking about these kingdom parables. Now, let me show you something. Read.
Again, the
kingdom of
heaven.
Heaven
is like unto treasure.
Is like unto treasure.
Hidden in a field. The which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field.
Okay, next verse.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls,
mm-hmm.
who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
I want you to see two things from these passages. Number one, the kingdom, life in the kingdom, is more important than anything else. Amen. This man who found the treasure, he went and hid it, sold all that he had. It was not comparable to this treasure that he found. This man who had this pearl, when he found the pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had just to keep that treasure. You and I, there is no sacrifice that we can make that is too much for God. There is no sacrifice that you and I can make that is comparable to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid on Calvary. Today, if you are not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Because you know what the parable is teaching us? That if God's truth is going to be found, it must be discovered. It is going to take effort. These men didn't just bounce upon it like that. They went and searched for it. How much do you need and how much do you want to be saved? How much do you want to know God's truth? Then you will have to search for it. It is not going to come by osmosis. Paul, in Hebrews chapter 7, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says that when I was a Jew, I gave up all of that to be found in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go back to where I started. John chapter 3, verse 36. And now the lesson is going to be yours. Read John chapter 3, verse 36 for me again.
He that believeth on the Son.
He that believeth on the Son.
Hath everlasting life.
Has everlasting life.
And he that believeth not the Son.
Hold it now. This is the lesson. That word belief is not really belief. Watch me now. What John is saying is that if we want eternal life, if we want to be continuously spared the wrath of God, if we want to experience life in the kingdom, if we want to identify with Jesus Christ, who is always greater than John, then he that believeth not, take out the not. And I'm going to put the not somewhere else. What John is saying, John is saying, he that obeys not. He who obeys not. What John is saying, the man who continues to believe. How do we know that he is believing? The man who continues to obey Jesus Christ will have eternal life. Even now, but the man who does not obey, that man will experience the wrath of God. For you to experience life in the kingdom, for you to experience the blessings that are in the kingdom, you have to obey. I can't find it, but I know it's there. When Moses, God said to Moses, speak to the rock. Moses decided not to speak to the rock. He struck the rock. And God says to him, you know what, Moses? Because you did that, you're not going to see the promised land. But what I find interesting, you thought, and I would have thought, that Moses disobeyed God by doing the opposite of what he says. But you know what God said to him? Because you did not believe me. What is the point? Are you a believer? That's one of the sermons I wanted to preach tonight, but I'll leave that for later. Are you a believer? The believer is the person who obeys. This morning, if you are not a Christian, for you to experience the blessedness of life in the kingdom, then you will have to obey. What do you need to obey? You need to obey the truth of Jesus Christ. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your faith in Christ, and you need to be buried in water, be baptized in water for the removal of your sins. And if you do that, you can experience life in the kingdom.